I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about the proposed Muslim worship center in Carmel. The plans to build the mosque have attracted a great deal of attention. More than 300 people showed up to discuss the matter at a recent zoning board meeting. We will dive into the discussion with those close to the question and, as always, seek to create a calm and civil forum in which to have important conversations, such as this one. Please join the discussion. Call 866-476-3881, email nolimits at WFYI.org, find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI, or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We are going to be talking today about the proposed Muslim worship center in Carmel that has become a subject of some controversy and a recent zoning board meeting was packed to overflow. I think there were 300 people in attendance and at least 100 more standing outside waiting to get in. If you want to join this conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. I know this is an issue that arouses really strong feelings. So I'm going to emphasize something that is sort of the founding principle of this program, and that is we will talk about the difficult issues, but we will do it in a civil way. And everyone will be heard, and I'm going to ask everyone also to listen on this issue, because a lot of the emotion gets dissipated, I think, if we can just stop and listen to each other. My guest for the first segment, we're dividing the show up into three segments today. We're going to talk in this first segment with Adam Ossin. He's a political reporter for Current and Carmel. He's going to sort of give us a more objective overview of what the issue is, what's at stake. In the second segment, we're going to talk with Ron Carter, a Carmel City Councilman, who has expressed some doubt about the project. And then in the third segment, we're going to talk with Javaria Khan, a staff attorney at Muslim Advocates, and Wafa Safi, a teacher and a member of the Al Salam Foundation. So, Adam, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. So, walk me through real quickly and pretend, obviously, many of the people are going to be familiar, but there are going to be a few folks who are listening who don't know what is at stake here, what the issue is, and why it has provoked so much feeling. What are we talking about here?
Well, oddly enough, I think most people, some people just read the headline. They didn't even read the story and see what's going on. So I'm happy to fill people in some of the background of the history of this project. The Al Salam Foundation for many years have been searching for a site because they want to have a worship center in Carmel. And they've had some trouble finding something, either because the land wasn't really a good fit for them or because in some cases they didn't want to sell to kind of a Muslim worship center in Carmel. So there was something years ago that kind of fell through, but now they've got this project. It's at 141st and Shelbourne Road. So this is the northwest side of Carmel, and the homes nearby are about $700,000 homes. So there's about a 15-acre property that they want to buy, and they say they're only going to build on about a third of it because there's a gas line easement on it that prevents them from building on all of it. But the neighbors, they have some concerns, which they say is purely from a zoning perspective. Some of the concerns that they raised, saying that traffic would be an issue because Shelbourne Road is a narrow road, one lane in each way. You could have a lot of cars on there. Noise. Some people wondered if there'd be a call to prayer on speakers. The Al Salam Foundation says they won't do that, but that was a concern people brought up. And the size of the building. Actually, the size has been scaled down since the original plans were submitted because the Al Salam Foundation says they want to work with the neighbors, so they have adjusted some of the plans. The parking lot, though, one neighbor sent me a photo of his backyard, and the parking lot would be right there visible from their backyard. So there's a question about how much of a buffer there would be, how much lights, and how much parking there would be, because they say they could have maybe 300 people in the building, but there might be only 100 parking spots. And all this information I'm saying, this is all a moving target. They're changing plans and working with the neighbors as we speak. So some of the stuff I say may have already not be in the case anymore. But this is some of the concerns they brought up. Now, when I post my article online and Indianapolis Star had their article, you can imagine there were a lot of people who didn't focus purely on the zoning aspect of this. There was a lot of emotions, and a lot of people brought religion into this, either as a pro or a con. Either they love the idea of having religious diversity and they want it in the neighborhood, or they had an anti-Islamic sentiment and they didn't want it there. Just to give you an idea, the Board of Zoning Appeals takes the letters from people. They had over 900 letters for and over 900 letters against. That never happens.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of people – and, you know, a lot of people have sent those letters. They're not living in that side of Carmel. Some of them don't live in Carmel. Some of them don't live in the United States. This has become a national – it got picked up on the wire services. So we've got a lot of people chiming in on this local zoning issue.
So let me ask this. We know that it is an upscale neighborhood, you know, and $700,000 – homes are particularly for this market on the higher end of the real estate market.
They're more than I can afford.
Well, we're journalists, you know. Most likely it'll be more than we ever will be able to afford. But what I want to ask is, are there other churches in the area?
There are other churches in the area. Now, the people who – people bring that up as an example of why it shouldn't be a problem. Those who oppose the site – say that a lot of those churches were there before the neighborhoods were built. For example, there was a Greek Orthodox church and a Mormon temple, and there was some people who opposed that, but a lot of that came in before the homes were built. So if you built a home in that neighborhood, at least you knew what you were getting into.
Are we? Yeah, although the Mormon temple is relatively recent.
That is relatively, and that's partly in a commercial area too, because you can kind of see that right from where that market district is. One example that those who oppose the mosque have brought up as that people say, oh, well, they would never oppose a church in the area. Well, in Fishers, they had the I-Town Church, which was a big church. Some would call it a mega church that was being proposed. And so many people were upset about it that they actually moved to another location. So there have been examples, even with churches, where people have opposed it because it was next to residential.
But that hasn't been the case in this area in the past.
No, not in this area. There hasn't been an – there. I have not seen an uproar like this. Put it that way.
So let me ask this, because it you know, others have pointed to the Mormon temple as an example, and that is an impressive structure. When you drive by it, you actually think that, you know, some version of the state house is landed in a cornfield north of the city. Would this worship center for the Muslim folks be similar in scale, size?
No, I think it would be smaller.
It would be smaller.
But
than
I think
that.
Originally they had a bigger plan, which is what made some of the neighbors concerned. They're wondering, are they really going to make it that small, or are they going to build something small? And then as soon as they get that built, they're going to expand on the rest of the property because they have the whole 15 acres. They said they had to buy all 15 acres because that was the only way they can get something.
Mm-hmm.
But do they stay on just that small part of the property, about a third of it, or do they expand all throughout it and suddenly there's a big property there? So the current plans, you're right, it is a lot smaller than the Mormon temple. It's just you have one side saying, hey, they're going to build more, and then the Al-Salam Foundation says, hey, no, you can trust us. We want to be good neighbors. We want to work with the neighbors. We promise this is what our plans are.
What are the zoning laws in that area? Are there any restrictions?
It is S1. So S1 means it basically special exemption, and this is a special exemption.
Okay.
So they don't need a rezone. They just need a variance.
Okay, so they need a variance, and we probably ought to break that down. It just means they need some sort of waiver or from the law.
A rezone is the whole land is changed. So you have something go from residential to commercial. The land is now commercial. If it's a variance, then the zoning still remains. In fact, you just get an exemption from the zoning law. So if you – it only applies to that tenant, to that building. If someone else comes along, they have to get a variance as well. One of them goes with the land, one of them goes with the building.
Okay, and what would walk me through what the process is from here? What if I'm assuming, obviously, it sounds like because so many people showed up, the decision was deferred. Do we anticipate a decision when from the
zoning
board? So
there's another meeting at the end of this month. I think it's actually maybe coming up soon. I got to check the date on that. But I'm sure the Al-Salam Foundation, Ron Carter, can give you the exact date on that one. But they had basically a lot more people than they would expect.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, they had to – everyone got to sign up, and they have to legally let everybody speak. So one thing, though, the Carmel Interfaith Alliance, who is a big supporter mm-hmm. of this, they bring all different religions together to try to find a common goal and understanding in Carmel. They were a little disappointed because they were going to speak in favor of the Islamic Life Center.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it played out with the signups, a lot of the people who spoke at that first meeting were against the process. So from the journalists who were covering that meeting or from people who were there, they got the impression that everyone in Carmel was against this mosque.
Mm-hmm.
When really there are a lot of people who are for it, too. They just didn't have a chance to speak at that meeting because of the way it worked out.
So it sounds like any way the decision goes, there are going to be some people who are unhappy.
Yeah, and the one thing, a lot of people have contacted their city councilors. Actually, the city council doesn't have a say over this. This is mm-hmm. the Board of Zoning Appeals, which is an appointed board. And some people have questioned how much really you can get involved. I asked Mayor Brainerd kind of what his stance on it was, and his big thing he wanted to emphasize was how Carmel appreciates its diversity, how about 20% of households in Carmel speak a language other than English, how we're a very welcome, accepting community. But he really couldn't comment on the specific process because he really doesn't feel like it's his place to get involved in the affairs of the BZA.
We're talking about the proposed new mosque in Carmel. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at wfyi. So, Adam, let me ask this. Where I was going with the question is, obviously, things that divide a community like this, whichever way the decision lands, some people are going to be unhappy. What is there a recourse for appeal or reconsideration? What happens regardless of what the zoning board does? At that point, if they say yes, does construction start? Or if they say no, is the Islamic Life Center got to find another location?
The other location thing is the thing that a lot of people are mentioning. And they're mentioning it as a possibility that if this is somehow defeated by the board, that would be an option that would really be good. They even said that some people who know real estate in the area, who love Carmel, maybe even some people involved with City Hall, could help them find another location because the public perception might not look good if Carmel rejects this project and then there's this image that Carmel doesn't want a mosque here, because I don't think that's what the city leaders want. So if it's found that this is not the right spot for them, I really, really believe that they will try to find another location for them in Carmel.
Okay, but I mean, what other areas? I mean, it sounds like they need at least 5 acres to build on, right?
Actually, and this is off the record, but I've had some people mention a couple locations that might work for them. I can't say them on the air, but there might be some possibilities.
There might be some other areas where they could go and all of that. But that assumes, are those areas free or where, they'd have to negotiate price and all of that sort of stuff?
Exactly. So there's a lot of variables going on here. I think right now the big thing is the neighbor who's living in the area, they're getting frustrated because they feel like people aren't listening to them because they're trying to work with them on the zoning concerns, but they feel like people are calling them Islamophobic because of their concerns. But I'll say this, the Al-Salam Foundation, they're not crying racism. They're trying to work with the neighbors. Mm-hmm. They're trying to make a good project, and they're just trying to dispel any misconceptions about what their project might be.
So let me ask another question then, real quickly, with your understanding of this. If the zoning board says no to this, does it have to say no to any other religious organization that might want to build in that space or on that site? Because that seems, if the answer isn't yes on that, that seems to me an invitation to litigation on First Amendment grounds.
They should not. Everyone I've talked to says that the BZA's decision should not be based on religion. If they say no, you can't be here because you're a mosque, I mean, that could be a lawsuit. Mm-hmm. So really, they're supposed to judge it on the merits of the building. And so you're right. If another building came in that happened to be a church, but it was a different building that could work with the area, I think that you're right there.
We are talking about the proposed mosque that might be built in Carmel. My guest here has been Adam Austin, who's political reporter for Current in Carmel. We're going to be talking with Carmel City Councilman Ron Carter in our next segment. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881 or find us on social media. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about the proposed mosque that might be built in Carmel and the controversy associated with it. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You also can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. My guest for this segment is Ron Carter. He is a Carmel City Council member who has expressed some doubts about the project. Councilman Carter, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John. I appreciate you asking me to be here.
It's good to have you here. So, real quickly, you've gone on record saying that if this were before the council, it probably would vote against it. Could you explain your reasoning? What led you?
Yes, I can, really. And what I said in the meeting in front of the Board of Zoning Appeals was that, in fact, if it did go before council, rather than being at BZA, it would probably not pass the council. And the reason it wouldn't pass is not religious in any way, shape, or form. It is simply a land use matter. If council looked at this from the standpoint of a land use matter, which it would if it came before us, which it won't. I want to emphasize that it will not come in front of council. But if it did...
So ultimately, then, you're speaking as a citizen and not as a government official.
Yeah. Okay. But if it did, I want to emphasize that, one, it was not a religious matter, and two, that it was simply a land use matter. And as whenever we look at things from a council standpoint on planning or zoning, or when I looked at things years ago when I was on the Board of Zoning Appeals, we really had to look at three different stakeholder groups: the community as a whole, the neighbors surrounding any particular project, and then certainly the entity that was looking to develop the parcel. And as we would look at that today, it really would not fit from a standpoint of the parcel itself. It would not fit that project. It's too small for what the Al-Salam Foundation had originally said they wanted to do. And I don't know whether you've seen their video or not, which they took down, but the video was far more extensive than what they can put on the 5 acres. They were looking at soccer fields, shelter houses, things of this nature, to make it a true activity center for the Islamic Foundation and for the Muslim faith in Carmel. There's no objection to that whatsoever. So what we're looking at here is they're now looking to put something that won't fit their vision, won't fit their future plans, on a space that really is too small for it. And what I would like to see, and what I said in my brief remarks to council, or to the Plan Commission, the Board of Zoning Appeals, was that it would really behoove everybody concerned if they can find a parcel that fits their needs from a visibility standpoint, from the standpoint of the size of the space, and accommodating what they originally said they wanted to do, especially when they were raising money from donors with that vision in mind.
So let me ask the same question I asked Adam toward the end, though, because it and this is probably one of those times I have to do a disclosure and say that earlier in my life, I was the executive director of what was then the Indiana Civil Liberties Union, which gives me some understanding of you know, the laws, First Amendment, the way the First Amendment intersects with the law. And to oversimplify greatly, if you say no to one faith, you have to say no to all of them when it comes to making these government decisions. And if you say yes to one, you have to say yes to all of them. You don't, government doesn't get to pick and choose, you know, which faiths it likes and which ones it doesn't. So does that mean that no church, no religious organization or entity could build on that site going forward, in your view?
John, I was sitting outside when you asked Adam that question and listening to the program, and I was saying to myself, I hope I get a chance to speak to that, because that's very, very important. And the answer would be absolutely the council or the Board of Zoning Appeals would and should look at that parcel as not being suitable for a commercial development, and meaning a church or any other type of commercial development, because of the fact that the parcel is literally in the middle of a residential area. Mm-hmm. So, no, I would never vote, if I had the ability to do that, I would never vote for a commercial project on that parcel. It's too small and too close to all the homes there to act as a space for that type of development. And I don't care whether it's Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, or Muslim. It should not be there.
We are talking with Carmel Council Member Ron Carter about the proposed mosque in Carmel. If you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. Track us down on Twitter at wfyi. Or you can do what a listener named Michael has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Michael, you're on the air.
Hi, John. How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
John, I live right about 141st and Shelburne, just south of the proposed project. And let me say that originally when I moved there, you know, it was wholly either farmland or residential. But over the course of many years, Shelburne Road has become what I like to refer to more as a not-for-profit corridor, where interlaced with the residential, starting at 106th Street, we have a Greek Orthodox church, a Lutheran church, fire station, LDS church. Moving a little further north, we have a street facility for the city. We have a new Coptic church. We have two elementary schools, a middle school, a bus facility for the schools. Going a little further up after the street facility, we have football fields, lacrosse fields, and all of those not-for-profit or religion-based uses are interspersed into a regional residential area. So I see anything developed as that site as no different than all of the other not-for-profit or religious-based uses already on Shelburne Road.
Thanks very much for the call, Michael. I'm going to give Councilmember Carter a chance to respond, but I do thank you for joining the conversation.
Thanks, sure. Michael, and certainly the places that you mentioned are there. I think if you look at every one of those, there's a difference, and all of those are on larger parcels and were, generally speaking, there ahead of time or they were planned ahead of time. And so they don't really have the same impact on a neighborhood as this five-acre parcel if developed as a commercial entity. And that's what I was saying, in effect, to the Board of Zoning Appeals. Look at this not as a religious project, but look at this as a land use project, as a commercial project. And I think you'll find that there is a difference there.
We've gotten an email from a listener named Samia. And again, if you want to join the conversation via email, you can send your email to nolimits@wfyi.org. She writes, I'm assuming it's a she. I am a Muslim who has been a Carmel resident for 7 years. I am shocked and disheartened. Why is this project opposed by some, even though it conforms to all regulations and all the development standards of the S1 zoning district? I want to understand, why is this different than any other worship place in Carmel? Many churches are built in Carmel with very similar zoning permissions and specifications. As Muslims, we have the right, as all other religious groups, to have a worship place at Carmel, our home. We are your neighbors. Our kids go to your kids' schools. We love Carmel, and we are part of Carmel's economic and diverse strength. It frustrates me when someone says, find another location. First, we've been trying to find a parcel of land for the last 5 years. Many buyers either changed their minds last minute or made the price go up. When we finally find a place whose owner is willing to sell, we face such a huge opposition. Second, we have pondered neighbors' concerns on traffic and noise. The ILC project leadership and engineers are working to make all changes they can to accommodate these requests while taking regulations into account. After all, the zoning committee will not approve any project that does not meet the regulations. So why is this opposition? We just want a fair process. I'm concerned that a member of the city council has been interfering with the zoning committee affairs, or at least he insinuated in the hearing that if this goes in front of the city council, they would vote no. Such a statement can mislead the public. The city council has no say in the case at hand. Thanks for giving me the chance to express my opinion. Councilmember Carter.
Well, one of the things that I would say is that, for the most part, I certainly agree with what the person who was just quoted was saying. But I'd also like to speak to the thought that the Islamic Foundation has been looking for years and that people refuse to sell to them. One of the things that I had said in my letter to the Board of Zoning Appeals was that what the Islamic Foundation, what Al-Salam Foundation should have done, and that would have saved them a great deal of time and a great deal of effort, was do the same thing that governments do or that developers do, and that is to, frankly, get competent real estate counsel to find land for them, get the deal done with an option for purchase when the zoning goes through, and get that parcel purchased. We have that happen all the time. When the city goes out to purchase, we don't go out as a city to purchase a piece of land. We generally will have a real estate consultant purchase the land. And so to say that there has been a strong effort by the Al-Salam Foundation, I think there probably has been, but they could have done it differently and could have avoided the time that it took to get this, and could also avoid now settling on a piece of land that really is a compromise for what the Al-Salam Foundation has had in its long-term plans, a compromise of what they would like to do and what they need to do. I might mention also that this particular parcel is one that literally was in up as two pieces of land, a 5-acre piece and a 9-acre piece. The owner indicated to them that they would have to buy both pieces, even though they now say they only need 5 acres. They're having to buy, in effect, 14 acres that has 9 acres that they say they are not going to be able to use. Well, that's a burden on the Al-Salam Foundation to have land
but
that they can't
forgive
use.
Me, but isn't that their worry, rather than either the zoning boards or yours? I mean, if they choose to buy the land and just use it as a buffer zone, is that necessarily a problem?
John, it is their worry, but the way the parcel's set, that won't be the buffer zone. It'll only be a buffer zone for one parcel. It'll be land that they can't use. As I said, we when we look at zoning activities, I look at it from the standpoint of, do we get the best situation accomplished for all people concerned, for the community as a whole, for the neighbors that surround, and for the entity that is buying the parcel? If it doesn't fit what they need, let's see if we can't get a better space for them that will fit what they need from the standpoint of future programming, from the standpoint of being able to have the visibility that I think they would like to have. So, no, I think it is a responsibility to look out ahead.
Well, and I guess what I I'd like to get you, and don't worry, I'm going to take the folks in the next segment over the hurdles too.
All right.
That's my job. But I guess what I would like to say is get you to respond to is some of the frustration in that email. I mean, they've been working on this for 5 years. They find that whenever they get close to something, either the piece of property is withdrawn, that the owner decides not to sell to them, or they jack the price up a great deal. And then in this situation, at least in their view, they're willing to comply with all zoning regulations, and they're still told, you can't build here. You can't set up here. I mean, presumably, if you were in that situation, you'd feel frustrated, too.
Well, first, I'm not sure how accurate the statement is that everyone has refused to sell to them, or the majority of people have refused to sell to them. I'm not sure how accurate the statement is that the price has gone up dramatically. The Al Salam Foundation had one parcel on 146th Street, which suited their needs, I think, much better than this did or does. And it was a parcel that had certainly visibility of a high traffic corridor on 146th Street, which would suit their needs better. When they got down to the final stages of that, what they found was that there was a covenant that had been put into the deeds for the property that said it could only be used for single-family housing. Now, I go back to, if they'd had competent real estate counsel to help them with this process, they might well have known that well in advance and just passed on that piece of property and saved themselves a lot of time and a lot of frustration. So to say, too, that this parcel and the use that they're looking for meets all the zoning requirements is really not the case from the standpoint that the parcel, after all, is zoned for single-family residential. And they're asking for a variance from single-family residential. And
A variance has been issued in that area in the past to other entities?
I don't know that that's the case. I really don't know, John, that is the case.
Well, and I guess where I would go with this then is asking if, the zoning board determines that they do meet all of the criteria. Does your objection go away?
If the zoning board says that if the BZA gives them an approval, my objection would not go away because, frankly, it is not an appropriate parcel of land size-wise. To make for the buffers that really should be there for that type of use and for the long-term overall needs of not only the neighbors but also the Al Salam Foundation. So, no, it would not be in the best interest of anybody concerned for it to go there. All I'm saying is that there should be a better parcel chosen by the Al Salam Foundation and hopefully now with the publicity that this has had, that there will be, if they don't get their approval here, that there will be a better solution and a better piece of land that comes up. I have no objection whatsoever to the mosque being built in Carmel. I would say that that would be a great addition to Carmel, but I don't have an objection to that. It's just not the right piece of land.
I want to try to take a call real quickly.
Okay.
Doug, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm just commenting on the optics of this situation in regards to the Amazon facility that, we're looking to get, considering that I'm sure many of those tech workers are of Muslim faith and actually would make enough money to live in Carmel.
Thanks very much for the call and the observation, Doug. So, Ron, do you worry about that at all? I mean, Central Indiana is trying to land what is a very big fish, and does this reflect well on our efforts? You got about 30 seconds.
John, I don't worry about it. Carmel is probably the most diverse community in the state of Indiana. It's been very interesting to me that the particular neighborhood that is nearest to where this is proposed is extremely diverse. And in fact, I've gotten a lot of emails from people from India, from people from China, both for and against. So, and they're from that neighborhood. So Carmel is probably the most diverse city in the state.
We are talking about the proposed mosque in Carmel. My guest for this segment has been Carmel City Council member Ron Carter. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking about the proposed mosque in Carmel today on No Limits. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Or find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI. You also can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Right now, we are joined by Juvaria Khan, who is a staff attorney at Muslim Advocate, and Wafa Safi, a teacher and a member of the Al Salam Foundation. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Certainly. And I hope I pronounced your names right. If not, please correct me.
No, you did just fine.
All right. I appreciate that. I want to start here by asking you to walk me through the process from your end. And I don't know if you've been able to listen to the show so far, but we had Adam Ossin, who's a reporter for Current in Carmel, sort of establish how this got to the level of a controversy or dispute. Ron Carter, who opposes, obviously, the building of the center at least 141st and Shelburne, was on in the previous segment. And I want you, and he's got his views, I want to start by giving you a chance to walk me through how we got to this point from your perspective. And whichever one of you wants to start that discussion, please feel free to do so.
Okay, John. I'm a resident of Carmel. I've been a resident there for over 10 years now. And we chose Carmel because it speaks to us. It's really one of those beautiful cities. It's unique. It has cultural diversity. It's got the arts district. It's got an excellent education system. So it has all of these strong things, not to mention how very pro-environment they are with the walking trails and very family-friendly. So that was our draw into Carmel. And we didn't realize that after we moved in and everything, we realized, well, there's no mosque here. So Salam Foundation was founded in 2012. And from that point on, they had been trying to find a mosque, just like I believe one of your callers had mentioned or written in. And the search has been excruciating. It's been very painful for the community and frustrating to try to find an appropriate piece of land. And I believe somebody had already mentioned what our struggle was. And when we finally got a piece of land, where we finally were blessed with a seller who was willing to sell us a piece of land and work with us through this process, it was just like a huge weight was taken off of us. We didn't realize the kind of attention that this would be bringing to us. We were just kind of going through the procedures like everybody else does when it comes to, if you want to build anything in Carmel, you've got to go through the BZA and follow the procedures. So this was definitely unexpected. I live not too far. I live walking distance from that site. And I was elated as a member that could be the possible new home for us there in Carmel.
Councilmember Carter said that his objection isn't on religious grounds, that parcel of property just isn't appropriate for, he argued, any commercial development. He said any church of any kind. How do you address his argument there?
Well, I mean, in all honesty, I believe it's up to the people who are purchasing that land and the community that's deciding on that land to make the decision if that's what's best for them or not. I know that the Salam Foundation, I've been a part of this community. I know that they are doing their absolute best to make sure that they are going to accommodate the neighbors, hear their needs, hear their concerns, and do everything they can to take care of those and make it a win-win for everybody, a win for the Muslim community. Now we have a home in Carmel instead of our normal lives of where when we want to take our children to the mosque or if we just want to go to prayer services, we have to take a 35-minute to 45-minute drive out to Fishers or to Indianapolis. I believe that that's the decision. It's up to us as to whether we feel that that's the right piece of land or not.
We've gotten a Facebook comment from a listener named Catherine, and if you want to join this conversation via Facebook, you can find us at No Limits WFYI. Catherine writes, the councilman is spinning hard to overcome the central problem here. Get out of the way and let the mosque be built. And we've gotten several. I'm going to try to synthesize because we're going to be short of time here. Some of the concerns that I have heard is involve just who should be making the decision here, that this has gotten confused in part because you do have a council member talking about a council vote and all of that when it's really a zoning board decision. Is that added to the frustration for you?
So I can jump in here and
yeah,
just
please.
Say that, at the end of the day, what really matters is it's up to the BZA to evaluate the facts before it. And they make the ultimate decision about whether to grant this permit or not. They, as part of that process, consider all the facts that are presented before them. And anyone who's familiar with local land use law at all knows that there are a great number of variances that can come up and a lot of different factors that are at play. But the reason we have a BZA is that we need a system of people with expertise who can evaluate that and make sure that each application gets the fair treatment that it deserves. And that's what the Muslim community in Carmel is really asking for. No special treatment, nothing less, just the same evaluation that every other house of worship in Carmel has gotten when it comes to getting a permit for a house of worship.
Javaria, let me ask this. Have you encountered situations or opposition like this in other parts of the country? And does it often take the form of this? It's not really about the nature of the religious institution. It's about, zoning regulations or whether any religious institution would be appropriate in that place.
So I don't want to prejudge this particular situation because we're fully confident that the BZA will make a fair decision of the facts that are before it. But I will say in my experience doing this work that oftentimes there are unfortunately situations where you'll see sustained opposition to a house of worship permit that's introduced. And they do sometimes take the form of being couched in terms of parking or lighting or traffic or other land use related issues, so much so that Congress, through bipartisan support, passed laws to sort of mitigate against unfair treatment of religious communities based on those sort of factors and ensuring that zoning boards don't unfairly take them into account when considering the application before it. So, certainly there are situations that I've seen where issues such as the ones that are being raised here have been used for pretextual reasons. But I don't want to say that that's the case here, and that's not what the community is saying either. All they're asking for is that the BZA look at the facts before it, aside from any misconceptions that may be out there, and make a fair evaluation of this application on the facts.
We are talking about the proposed mosque in Carmel on No Limits today. If you want to join the conversation, you can do what a listener named Mahmoud has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Mahmoud, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call.
Certainly.
I wanted to ask, actually, Mr. Ron Carter, and since he's not on the call now, I would like the city council to take notice of his actions, because what he's doing is he's confusing the whole process of, the zoning board, because why we have the zoning board is that they should make the decision based on the facts. And he's coming over there, confusing them, giving them his opinion and giving them his option about what city council would have done. I think it's totally unfair, and somebody should ask him, did he go in front of the zoning board when Compton Church was asking their zoning changes, when they did it, zoning changes right in front of the school, right next to the, you know, busy buildings and all the houses over there. So that was my question to him, but now he's not there. But thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, certainly. Certainly, Mahmoud. And if I might, I'm going to take the liberty of reframing, because we've gotten several emails and messages that address this point. Javari, I have taken note of the fact that you expect that the zoning board, in your view, will do the right thing and approve the project so that it can move forward. But we've gotten several other people who pointed out there are other religious houses of worship that have been built in that area on similar sized pieces of land. If the zoning board does not vote the way the community wishes, would that become an avenue of possible litigation or a way to force the city to reconsider its decision?
So I think fortunately we're not at the point where we need to be having that discussion or debating that. Because we're hopeful that come February 26th at the next BZA hearing, the board will approve this permit. But, you know, if there is a denial, we will consider what the options are and take next steps from there.
Well, correct. And I don't know if you were listening during the last segment, but I'll do the disclosure again. I spent 6 years serving as the executive director of what is now the ACLU of Indiana, which gives me some idea of how the First Amendment intersects with the law. My understanding is pretty much you have to say either yes to all faith traditions or no to all of them, but you don't get to pick and choose among them. Is that a fair assessment?
So to your point, yeah, Congress passed what's called the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act, or RLUIPA, in 2000, and it was passed with overwhelming bipartisan support in recognition of the fact that there was a pattern of, undue restrictions being placed on certain religious communities when they would try to apply for a permit for a house of worship. And out of concern of that, and in recognition of how important the fundamental right is to practice one's faith freely in this country, they passed RLUIPA as a way to make sure that zoning boards just consider the facts, and if there is strenuous opposition, even if it's couched in terms of parking or lighting or congestion or what have you in relation to land use, that the zoning board makes sure that it focuses on the actual facts before it, and to your point, treats that application no differently than it would if it was a different religious community that was applying for that permit. That's a very strong protection that the federal government has given, that Congress has given, to reflect how important we as a country find religious liberty, and particularly that of religious minorities. I mean, I would just say that the Muslim community in Carmel has been here for a long time. It's a vibrant community. It's a thriving community, and there are many houses of worship and a lot of diversity in town, but there's no mosque. And there's certainly a need for a place of worship. The space that they have right now is quite small, and Wafa can speak to it more personally, but there are certain protections in place to ensure that full, protection is given to all communities, whether they're religious minorities or not, when it comes to building a house of worship.
Mike, you're on the air.
Hello?
Mike, yes. Are you with us?
Yes.
Thanks.
I live in the home place about 106 and Pennsylvania. And about 7-8 years ago, Carmel went through all kinds of the land was C1. It was supposed to be just doctor's offices, one-story buildings, and things like that. Anyway, Carmel went through all kinds of hoops and everything else to get Staybridge Hotels to come here and build a 350 three-story hotel right in the middle of our community. And I mean, the crime has just skyrocketed. I mean, you should see it on Indy 500. It is a zoo. So I just wanted to make that comment. Carmel has done things like that where they put huge commercial buildings in, you know, small residential neighborhoods. So that was my comment.
All right. Thanks very much for the call and the comment. Mike.
John, I'd like to point out, I feel like people are considering this mosque a commercial building. It is not. Mm. It's a house of worship, mm-hmm. and it falls under a whole different set of rules. And we've seen, I want to go back to what Javeria had mentioned. Mm-hmm. The current place that we're using right now is incredibly small. I would say my living room is bigger than the place that we're using. And that's just not an appropriate sized place. There have been numerous studies that have showed that when a religious center, a mosque, a church, a synagogue is put in these neighborhoods, it actually ups that safety. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to focus on something like crime rate or a mosque bringing in crime to an area. Actually, it's had the opposite effect on that area. I'd also like to point out that some people are saying that this mosque is going to be this very huge building. We are looking just to develop these 5 acres. And when you look at what the size of the building is going to be, mm-hmm. let's just say, hypothetically speaking, the average Carmel house is 5,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 5 acres of land. It's like I'm taking less than 3 houses, average houses, squished together and putting them on that parcel of land. There's plenty of space. We're going to have 65% of that area green space, 35% of that area non-green space. So with debate of whether that land is the right size, if the mosque is too big, I know there none of that has any merit, to be honest with you.
So we've only got about a minute left. And the other point that has come up in these discussions that's been bounced is that the original plans have been adjusted also to meet concerns. Is that correct, mm-hmm. Wafa?
Yes, yes. Our community has been so incredibly concerned to make sure that the welfare of the neighbors is considered. And they have made numerous changes as they're hearing people's comments. And again, we want this to be a win-win for everybody here, a win for the Muslim community in Carmel to have a home, a place to truly make Carmel our home, and for the people who live there to also be comfortable with us being their neighbors, to also feel protected, too, because their interests are our interests.
Well, I think probably that will have to be the last word. I know that there is another hearing coming up, and my understanding is this could be decided sometime this month. If it is delayed, we'd love to have you back on the air to do everybody, you know, who's been part of this, back on the air to talk about this some more, because clearly we could have done at least 2 hours mm-hmm. on this subject. We've got calls and all of that. I'd like to thank both of you and my other guests, Carmel Council member Ron Carter and Adam Austin of Current in Carmel, for what has been, I think, an informative conversation, and I hope has taken at least a little bit, generated more light than it has heat. I'd also like to thank our listeners for some great questions. We will be back on Tuesday when we're going to wade into another important issue. We're going to talk about the Dreamers and immigration reform. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical Producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer, Joe Hatcher. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's Public Broadcasting Stations.